The Talking Earth, hello, we're May 13th, Mother's Day was yesterday. I was going to call this program Mother Love or something, but Patrick Bocard is with me,
yes.
And we were debating whether there were, well, we're not going to go into that, we don't have real information, but that the, Patrick would respond to that, that the Trump administration had given away a lot of had stopped a lot of tax write-off, maybe. We don't know.
No, they did. They well, did. We're not sure the exact result.
We don't
though,
know whether it
right.
How much
I mean,
effect.
I did my taxes this year, and it's like a one-page thing in the federal. So I don't know exactly how it works, and I don't. There probably are.
So the billionaires won again. Is that correct?
You know, I'm not sure exactly how everything works, but I'm pretty sure they did because that's the way it was set up in the terms of the kind of the way it was set up, I think.
Oh, okay. Now, have you got Carmina Burana Fortuna? Here we go. Let's go.
In the background, yes.
Fortuna. Yeah, that's a little juice. We need juice on this program. Oh, yeah, this is... I love this piece of music. Carl Orff, O-R-F. O-R-F. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll pump that up. I like it. It's a good start. We can draw it down maybe a little bit here. Fortuna Impera. Oh, is that people need to know these are medieval magical chants and songs that Orff, German, and this actually, this is, well, it says the Court of Love rhapsodizes in Latin and medieval French and German on the subject of. good many untranslatable double entendres. Oh, here, we'll keep it. Let's play a little more of it, and then we'll drop it. But it's medieval. It's a great piece of music. Trusty engineer ad lib. So how did we do? Okay, we'll shut that off. That was, but you know, you need to know about that piece of music. And then there was Catulli Carmina about the poetry of Catullus And so I like to give a little heritage to these programs. So, anyway,
Carmina Burana has to do with
the medieval troubadours and.
But it comes from the poetry of Catullus?
No, no. He has an earlier version, Catulli Carmina. Carmina. Okay. So Catullus is another record that he, or cantata, as they're calling it.
Oh,
here.
Okay.
And then this one is the Middle Ages. I don't know why Fortuna Imperatrix, because this is kind of the end of the world stuff. And I'm sort of... unfortunately, in that mode, I'm going to keep it more positive, but we're in kind of dark doo-doo right now. Doo-doo, that's my word, doo-doo. So we'll let Carmina go, I guess. I just want you to know about Carl Orff, O-R-F, and Carmina Burana, a Middle Ages, and Catulli Carmina, and Carmina, from the poetry, the love poetry of Catullus. We can stop with that one. Okay, we'll stop with that one. So, Patrick, I was asking you in the studio room there what you had been doing, and and you're taking a hiatus. Talk, Chuck. Let's have rapport here.
I'm having a nice vacation from... I did go to a poetry reading recently. I went to what used to be called Tony's. It's now Wildwood Saloon, and I read a couple poems there, and it was fun. I haven't really...
Are they still open? Are they doing that?
They're still doing that reading. That still happens the first Monday of the month.
The first Monday of the month. You know, I preferred... the boys' night there, because now have they turned the I'm not being mean spirited, I'm just being myself. Did they turn the television set off as people were reading, or no?
I mean, no, there's no television set in the
cable, but there is by the jukebox.
Oh, you mean the jukebox? Yeah, nobody put the jukebox.
Isn't that kind of rude and crude that we have these open mics?
Well,
that,
you know, the thing is that
I... Talk about open mics. Go ahead.
The thing is I actually read a parody of a David Bowie song.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I read this parody of a David Bowie song, so if the jukebox had been working, I might have fit. I might have had a backing track.
Well, yeah, we're doing David Bowie.
We could be tourists just for 2 days.
Well, you know,
we could get stuck in an airport just for 2 days.
Have you ever been stuck in an airport?
I met some people who were, because I wish I could fly the way Frontier Airlines can't fly.
Well, I don't want to take my shoes and socks off, because I am born on the 4th of July, and I'm a poet, and I'm not going to put up.
But anyway, yeah, it's the Wildwood Saloon's it was a good reading, but like, I haven't really been writing. I've been playing Madden football.
And watching
YouTube videos of Game of Thrones, so I don't know if like the Game of Thrones people off it.
Your social cultural mind is so different from mine. Well, okay, let's be really popular, mainstream. Did the Blazers win something the other night? I don't know. Talk about that. What do you think about all? I hate
sports.
Corporate sports. I love sports, but.
It can be fun to watch. It's not, you know, well, I mean, actually, anyone out there, I mean, we're not going to take any phone calls, but...
No, we're not taking any phone
calls. But, I mean, just think about this for a second. Can anyone name who won the first marathon?
No, because, we're not taking...
no, who... Because that is the most important sports event in the history of the planet. And if you cannot name the guy,
Jesse Owens.
No, definitely not. He didn't. This is the Battle of Marathon, the first marathon.
Oh, marathon! We're talking Greece.
Marathon. Okay. Does anyone actually know who ran the first marathon? Because if you don't, that just shows you how ephemeral sports are.
Well, tell us who did it.
We do know Homer and Sappho, and they're from around the same time.
Well, you know, the Olympic Games started at Olympus. I was there in Greece at Olympus.
When it happened?
No, not when it happened. But you know, that's where the Olympic Games, they came from the classical Greco-Latin history of, you know, of... Of the Western world, of the Western
world. But the marathons come from the Battle of Marathon. It was 26 miles from where Marathon was to Athens, where they had to warn them that the Persian fleet was coming.
Well, let's not torture anybody, but who was it that did it?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if anyone knows, which tells me that sports is really ephemeral and not, you know, no one gets remembered.
That was before Alexander took over all the way to India before he dropped dead of a fever.
It's when Athens was still a republic or a democracy.
No. Just give us a little more here. But I think what we'll do is we'll put a little more eye on Dusty Santa Maria here of the new record. Okay.
Do we have it ready?
We're having it ready right now. We got a ready Teddy. We're just going to keep winging here, right?
We're winging it.
No, we got it. No, just it's ready. And I'll discuss it, but let's go. I'm going to sample it. Just go ahead.
All right. Let someone else vote. Wow, they amplified a lot. Uplift beyond destruction.
This is this is Dusty and Santa Maria and Mora Ichiban, their new record. Sound lies in silence, rises from void to vibration only when it has something to say. Intersection, that is the name of it. You can go to, if you really want to get into this, you can go to voodooityourself.com. Voodooityourself.com. They're going to New Orleans, and I wish them well. Intersection is the freedom song of a two-headed monster, the autobiography of a kiss. It's a love letter to the impossible. Dusty Santa Maria, you can go there, but Voodoo itself, voodooityourself.com and Intersection. So what is it sounding like? What are we hearing here? It's a little somber.
I'm free. The empire changes.
I'm free.
But our needs remain the same.
I know who I am. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free.
I'm gonna sample it here.
I'm impressed. It's very well.
Shame, shame, shame.
I like shame, shame, shame.
Shame, shame, shame. Ooh.
Okay, we'll stop it now, Patrick, my good engineer. And I'm reading from the jacket of it. This is inner section, INNERSEXION, the second album by Dusty Santa Maria plus Mora Ichiban. Now, what I'm going to handle this like poetry because they wrote out a few of the songs. I'm just going to scat some of this. So if you go down, turn me on. Heavy Heart, Honey, got me shivering the whole night through. Well, it's just the two of us. I'm bleeding from my eyes. I kiss you once. I kiss you twice. There ain't no one in sight to say it ain't right. And we dance, yeah, we dance a waltz that cut right through in my secret desire. If you go down, I'll go down with you, heavy heart, honey, got me shivering. I'm sleepwalking unless I'm with you. If you go down, I will go down with you in my secret desire. And I'll just do a little more here. These are like poems. It's very well done. It's a beautiful production, and it's voodooityourself.com, Voodoo It Yourself Records 2019. So let me just skim this, and then we'll go on to something else. But Dusty and Mora are going down to New Orleans, and I've known him for 15 or 16 years, and he used the title from one of my poems. I have no problem. He could have used the whole darn thing. These are the lyrics, okay? From one Scorpio to another in a pre-recorded universe. And I want you all to think about the poetry of this. In a pre-recorded universe, who made the first recording? My love's a silent warning. Her lips linger like twin red planets, broken pomegranates. Live fast and die nine times. A pre-recorded rhyme. What a mind F that someone else wrote. The language we think in. This is a poetry program. Uplift beyond destruction. Barbed wire liposuction. From one Scorpio to another. Grandma piano plays with time. Uplift beyond destruction. Now that's a fairly positive ending, and I think we will let that go. But what do you think about the new record? A little bit, Patrick, and I'm impressed
by how different it is from the earlier album.
I think it's very well disciplined. I think it's well done. It's sort of dark though. So what? Just talk a little more about it because you like Dusty. You brought their first album.
Well, yeah. Last month, I think I brought his first album in, and you did too. So this time, you actually have his second album. I'm not, like, there yet. But it's very different from his first album.
If you're a musician or a poet, it's good to evolve in certain ways.
Yeah.
This is not my I'm going to say it's not my favorite thing, but I think it's very well done. Wouldn't you say the values of it and musical values?
I've only heard those two tracks, but yes, I like that first piece you played. It's like the Velvet Underground, and it's kind of avant-garde.
Oh, is that how it is? You know this music better than I do.
It's a little bit. But I kind of liked how different it was from his earlier album, and it was kind of... It's a lot more electric. It's kind of, I like it. I have a tendency to like electric stuff, electrified music a little more than acoustic stuff. It depends, though, you know.
You brought up several references, David Bowie and all that stuff.
Well, David Bowie was a reference to a poem I wrote that was a parody of We Could Be Heroes.
Well, why didn't you bring the poem tonight? We only get
some. I unfortunately didn't bring the poem. I might have it around, but I don't, it might be in the control room. I might be able to play it or read it later, but I had an experience while flying on a really cheap airline And I rewrote the David Bowie song to be We Could Be Tourists just for 2 days.
Well, you know, I know you're a surrealist and you're kind of a wit about your own poetry.
I'm just a little sarcastic, but...
Yeah, you like...
As James Wright used to say about his own stuff, I'm a fifth-rate satirist.
Oh, no, we're not going to do that.
Actually, he said he was a third-rate satirist, so... I'm two below him.
Well, you know, we're only at 10:23. We're coming on here strong, and
if you're not careful, I'm going to put on some Japanese monster music.
Well, you know, you're going to be my, I hope for quite a while now, my engineer, and I want you to do something. Why don't you throw me off? I mean, this should be a vibe, you know. It should be a real vibe, this kind of thing. I mean, it's not, life is not a joke. We honor KBOO and we honor the privilege of doing the Talking Earth, all of us, for 48 years. So what do we got over there?
We're listening to
You're doing it online. You got the Japanese. Tell me what it means.
A is the Japanese trailer to War of the Gargantuas.
You actually watch this junk?
Well, this is not junk, actually. This is a really tragic movie about two different, like, Frankenstein
crazy
monsters. And one of them gets along with people.
This
and
is
the
when
other
you and I really get rapport. I like this.
Yes. One of them gets along with people.
Play a little more
of it.
They're
both brothers. And it's really tragic. There's a really great scene in the middle of it where the one that's good discovers what the other one eats and is not happy about it. And the rest of the movie is them fighting.
I know about Godzilla. Was that Japanese?
Yeah, it's the same people who made Godzilla, by the way. Yeah. It's the same. And one of the things I love about these movies is the music.
How did you get hooked? Now, Mora would appreciate that because Mora Ichiban, she's...
That's not a given.
She really identifies with that. And
I don't know. It depends. I mean, some people, but some people are not into it. But I've always been into monster movies. But that's just something I had when I was growing up.
Were your parents perverts or torture terrorists?
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's like little boys identify with dinosaurs. Well,
oh, I know that. They're big.
So you know, yeah.
Play a little bit of that, and then we're gonna get rid of that.
It's almost over. Actually, we're almost done with the monsters fighting, and then we're gonna. But there's something I did want to say about it. I'm gonna find a way to gracefully pop down the explosions and everything else. Little things they come up with to blow up the monsters that don't work. Which is another thing that's nice about the Japanese version of monster movies is that the army never works. It doesn't do anything. So they're not very, like the American version, it's like the army would come up with something that would kill off the monster and save the day. And that doesn't happen in the Japanese versions. It's like the military is pointless. In the Japanese monster.
The military in America is pointless, and John Bolton is a maniac, and I brought
true.
The New Yorker here, and actually they want to attack Iran. Okay, you got me going there. The military is pointless, absolutely pointless.
The point I wanted to make, though, is different.
We're talking about the future of the world. We're not talking about monster movies.
I was going to say one more thing about monster movies.
Go ahead, say it.
Japanese monster movies, or Asian monster movies specifically, is that I got to watch them as a kid, and you would have, unlike almost all American television or U.S. television, I got to see Asian men non-wimpified as real human beings, and thanks to the fact that they were showing this on regular TV, and that's what kids were watching, Whereas if you watch regular
Japan
television
I'm not a racist. Japan is a samurai culture, and
it is to a certain extent.
And then we did Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings, and they just had Fukushima go off.
Walt, that's not my point. My point is that our current culture, take Big Bang Theory. It's like a really popular TV show. There's an Indian
character.
I don't dig it. But it still affects people. There's an Indian man on that who can't keep a girlfriend. And that's kind of par for the course with like...
I'm not a multicultural psychologist. We're staying on the poetry track here.
But anyway, that's the one thing I wanted to say is about the Japanese monster movies I watched is that they actually had Asian males who were good role models and actually... were represented well, because they were made by made in Japan or Korea or not really in China. China was Hong Kong was more.
You get 60 more seconds. You get 60,
yeah. But anyway, that's my point. Anyway, are we ready for?
Yesterday was Mother's Day, and my beautiful sister was sick with the flu, but I love my mother, and she had multiple sclerosis, and. I found her on the kitchen floor because I lived out there. But I think what I want to do with this is I think I want to do this Linda Ronstadt thing, not Blue Bayou. I think it's queued up. Linda, I guess, is still alive. She had Parkinson. I love her work. But in here, she talks about... bad male energy, and let's see what we hear here. Okay. No, it's all right. Keep it going. This is the end of Blue Bayou. I love Blue Bayou. The end of Blue Bayou, yeah. This is one of my favorite songs in world history. But this next song is a woman's point of view about males. It's all right. It's coming. It's coming right now. Here we go. This is very, very harsh, very to the point how women are mistreated in most of the world.
Oh,
We can bring it down. Yeah, we can bring it down here. You know, it's really a great album in the words, but it's so expressive of the way women have been treated. I'm not saying all. I think it's changing, but it's been very, very bad. I mean, okay. So when I thought of Mother's Day yesterday, Sunday the 12th, and my own mother, and then my Marjorie Sharp, my poet woman friend, who passed away 2017, in September 6th, and this is a thing she told me, and this is a thing that happened in the sisterhood and the solidarity of women, and so I'm just going to do it, because she had been out in a cabin, and she had dogs with her, and the coyotes were howling, and blah, 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 and then she'd actually shared the notion, this is not being weird, this is being biological, that women don't have to sit down to pee. She learned that they don't have to do that. So let's do the poem here. Woman in the Woods. I know a woman who can piss standing up. She learned it after 30, and she dreams of showing every other woman in the world how to, standing with legs spread apart, and why not. And that's all right. It's neat. She lives in a cabin in the woods by herself, surrounded by her dogs, always barking, getting stickers in their feet or cutting their feet, licking the wounds, surrounding her for sympathy, cuddling up to her for sympathy like purring cats, nodding their heads wisely. Moths circle her cabin in the woods, and the circle flies wider and wider, higher and higher. Only there is no one to show this feat to, F-E-A-T, to, not even me, except to the wide moon and the dewy, pointy grasses, licking up the drops and the dregs. I wish the moths and the dogs should go away, and all the beautiful women in the world and all the so-called ugly would come to her and learn how to do this marvelous thing. And I'd be watching, hiding from the woods, not chased away like the wounded dogs and the circling moths. And I'd be awed and admiring these wonderful women, but fine, standing up, pissing in a circle, legs spread apart, heart, never having to squat again for the sake of men. Bravo. Marjorie, you were an amazing, lovely woman, and you changed my life history. So, what do we got here? We could tell, I just, well, we're going to clear this up. We're just going to keep moving. Hit the other record there, and we'll be, yeah, we're not, and we're done with Linda Ronstadt, the other, yeah. Patrick, you're great. Just, wow, that's a little...
read over this.
Patrick Bocard, Talking Earth. Go ahead, read it, please. It's all right. It's,
what is this album called?
Well, you know, I get these at the bins. Prestige Groovy Goodies Volume 2, Brother Jack McDonald.
Well, I'm going to Chicago. Sorry, I can't take you. Yes, I'm going to Chicago.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry, I can't take you.
We'll cut it off here when we're young. Now, Patrick, that sounded pretty sexist. Kind of, you know, why do males always complain in blues songs about the women that ruined their lives?
Because they can't complain about the white men causing the real problems in their lives. Because
that was a brilliant rejoinder. Thank you very much.
That's kind of how it was.
Yeah, it's... I'm only going to do 5 minutes of this, and I don't know, I hope it's going to work, and then I'm going to do something more, but we're just going to put this down here, we're going to put this down on the machine here, and we'll just do 5 minutes. I'm working on a book called Mean Old Man, or The Killing Machine, or Crow Shit is White, that's the title of the book, so let's try this, see what happens.
Recognize psychic.
Here we go. This is kind of metaphysical. Try a little bit.
I haven't done it that well, but so there are several realities to reality, not just a mundane, ordinary one, but another. Carl Jung talks about synchronicity, things happen that something else, the divine intelligence in the universe, gives us a message. I have a message tonight. I'm trying to take care of it, and I want to do my nightmare book of poems. with the staff and I'm gonna say a prayer. This shouldn't upset anybody upstairs. Prayer to the world, telegram to the world. I send my vibration of all this cosmic harmony and sentimental feeling rock the stars. Shake, reverberate throughout the universe. It never stops. God and the goddess, the Tao knows. We go beyond death. We go beyond. Because of what we, because of what we spiritually do,
that's a little indulgent. Now it's, we know that, and we know that's a little indulgent, but I find myself channeling my other selves. And so what do we got here? Let's see. You know what, Patrick, do we have a CD thing we can put this in, maybe?
We have the Bukowski.
Oh, I don't want him now. Well, I will. I'll put him on now, but not now. No.
All right.
I want a woman's voice. This is a yin-yang program. Put it on and just hit about number 7. And this is the great Germaine Greer. And I don't know. Bukowski is, he is what he is. So I'm going to say, I'm not going to say too much. But yeah, just try... she actually worked with Lorca, and there's Spanish stuff here.
So
and let's see, one of the poems here, just hit about number 6 or This is the Bullfighters' Lament, and let's see what I hear, and then we'll jump ahead. Okay. Just a little.
Empieza el llanto de la guitarra.
This is the beginning
se
of the.
Rompen las copas de
this
la
is
guitarra.
The guitarra, la guitarra.
Empieza el llanto de la guitarra. Es inútil callarla. Es imposible
oh, we could pump that
callarla.
Up too if we want, but.
Llora monótona como llora el agua. Como llora el viento sobre la nevada.
I could try to.
Impossible callarla.
It's impossible to silence the guitar.
Lejanas, arena del sur caliente que pide camelias blancas. Llora fecha sin blanco, la tarde sin mañana, y el primer pájaro muerto sobre la rama. Oh, guitarra.
God, she has a beautiful voice.
Corazón malherido por cinco espadas.
Just maybe just one more, and then we'll put on Bukowski, and then I want to finish with something else. But go ahead. I think it's going to happen, isn't it? Shoot. Yeah, this is a Spanish song from the period.
Debajo de la hoja de la verbena, debajo de la hoja, debajo de la hoja, debajo de la hoja de la verbena, tengo mi amante malo, Jesús, qué pena. Debajo de la hoja, debajo de la hoja. Debajo de la hoja de la verbena, debajo de la hoja de la lechuga, debajo de la hoja, debajo de la hoja, debajo de la hoja de la.
It's an Andalusian real Spanish song from the 1930s or. Okay, but we only have 10 minutes, so we'll draw Germaine Montero down. Patrick, you're so good at this, my friend. I like context. I don't think this poetry program should just be talking heads all the time.
That'd be kind of hard because you can. I mean,
go ahead. Respond.
You can't see talking heads, or you can't see them on the radio, so it'd be kind of pointless.
Oh, now you're getting funny. I like
and,
that.
And I don't really want us playing only talking heads, the band.
No, I don't even know popular culture. I mean, I know Jimi Hendrix and whatever.
You've heard talking heads, same as it ever was.
Now, we've got 9 minutes to go, so we're gonna do the. Outrageous, wonderful, great Charles Bukowski right now, okay? We'll only do 4 minutes of it, and then we'll be done with.
Here he goes.
I come from San Pedro.
California, here you go. Oh, it's called The Hostage. It's
to
called
put
the hostage.
Redondo Beach on the map.
I'll give you a copy of this, Patrick.
Tonight is going to be a very dignified reading. I will not
let me laugh through this.
Rejoin or have rejoinders with the audience. I shall read you dignified poetry in a dignified way. We shall comport ourselves as ladies and gentlemen of culture. Thank you. Do you know I caught that $73 horse out there last Saturday? I had it, and I had a reason for it. But when you figure a horse is 35 to 1, you just put $2 down because you figure everybody else's reasoning is better than yours. But maybe someday I'll learn. I will soon start to read poetry. Might as well start about now. Jam. Jam. Driving in from the track, I always turn the radio on to the freeway traffic alert station. And the other day I heard the best one. The man said that the Santa Monica Freeway near the San Diego off-ramp was congested due to an indecent exposure case. They're working on getting him off of there now, he said. Meanwhile, I'd suggest you take an alternate route, which, of course, nobody did.
We'll talk over him. Isn't Bukowski funny, though?
I have now been here 9 minutes. And you've been here a lot longer, haven't you? I'm not as tired as you are, so okay. I know that. What have I seen? I like your way, Catullus, talking about the whore who claims you owe her money, or that guy who smiled too much must have cleaned his teeth with piss, or how about the poets come with their blameless, tame verse, or about how this guy married a slut. You come right out and say things. You're not like the others. But listen, Catullus, didn't I see you at the racetrack bar last Thursday? You had this great whale of a cunt with you. Must have scaled 190. One breast flopped loose, dressed in a lavender sheet. I believe I heard her pass wind in public. Her teeth green, her buttocks of sagging celluloid. And you drunk and pawing into her anus. Surely that was not you, Catullus, at the racetrack bar last Thursday. Now that guy knew how to write a few lines down. Up and down and sideways and upside down, just the way some of us fuck. Of course, a lot of us don't fuck at all, but sit home to fuck me, right? Aren't you girls? Well, that old ugly guy, how can he think I'd give my pussy to him?
Patrick, I don't know. Is this all right? Let me talk about this for a second. There's nobody.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Well, you know, we went from the sublime to mother love, we went, and now we end up with Bukowski. Of course, he's gone, but you know, he was a comedian, and I give him some kudos, but I knew that would be problematic, and I'm not going to go there. So we've got 3 minutes. Why don't we turn that? I think we're almost done, but wait a minute. Bukowski is a great American writer like Henry Miller and others who just said outrageous things, and there are plenty of others too. And you know what? People didn't like it. I don't know if Bukowski could get away with it today, and I decided that I would just pause there. So I will pause there. Happy Mother's Day.
Shame.
Mother love.
Shame.
Well, go ahead, respond.
Shame.
But let's go out with my groovy record here, but here. But you talk. Now, you don't have the guts to do that, do you? And I'm not going to do it in public anymore.
I have a poem I don't want to read out loud because it's too nasty, but it's not nasty the same way that one is. But
well, I told you.
But I do have to say, like, I'm just making a reference to, I'm making a Game of Thrones reference, actually, about something misogynist that happens on the show that gets reversed later on by everyone's least favorite female
I don't know what Game of Thrones is. Hit my record here. Now, Patrick Bouchard, you've been lovely tonight, and we're going to carry on a dialogue, and you bring some poems in here to be with me, okay?
That will happen next week.
Okay.
Next month.
Let's get out with the music here.
Next week is Barbara Morticello.
Okay, we got a little juice. And then-